وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، وأصلح لنا شأننا كلها برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، in the book by in the translation of Sidi Ibrahim Hakim, we are on the bottom of page 31, and in the Arabic, in the online version in Arabic, I'm sorry, I don't know the page. It is a section starting. We were doing 10 points about things to consider to help the servant to realize that he is a servant, and that Allah is he is the guest of Allah, and Allah will cater for him, and he doesn't need to worry much about things, and he can't overview things anyways, and many reasons like that. And we could just very briefly go point by point and repeat them so that we know where we are in the text, inshallah ta'ala. That will probably be somewhere at the beginning of chapter 4 if we want to follow up in the English. Sayyidina Muhammad, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. فقال المصنف: هو الإمام العارف بالله أبو العباس أحمد بن محمد بن عبد الكريم الشهير بابن عطاء الله السكندري رحمه الله تعالى ورضي عنه ونفعنا به في كتابه التنوير في إسقاط التدريب. What the section that we started, and I think is probably the chapter 4 in the English version. ذكر الأمور التي تحمل على إسقاط التدبير. The things that will help the servants to reach this state of dropping management. الأول علمك بسابق تدبير الله تعالى فيك. Knowing that Allah has always catered for you before you existed, and He will cater for you in this life and the next life. And then the next point, the second one was الثاني. علمك بأن القدر لا يجري على حسب تدبيرك. Knowing that no matter how much you plan, قدر will run contrary to your plans. Your plans will not change the qadr. The second one was الثاني أن تعلم أن التدبير منك لنفسك جهل فيك بحسن النظر لها. Knowing that your own management is not as good as that which Allah provides with. And the third one is that you can't impose on qadr. Your planning does not change qadr. الرابع علمك بأن الله تعالى هو المتولى تدبير مملكته. Allah is like a king. He is a king, and he will take care of organizing his kingdom or the things that he owns. So one cannot go and manage things that don't belong to one. الخامس علمك بأنك ملك لله تعالى. Knowing that you are a servant owned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so he will provide and he will manage. الخامس والسادس علمك بأنك في ضيافة الله knowing that you are a guest with Allah and it would be offending the host if you try to manage his household. والسابع نظر العبد إلى قيومية الله تعالى في كل شيء and Allah is al-qayyum. Al-qayyum is the one who provides the rizq and who upholds the whole existence. والثامن اشتغال العبد بوظائف العبودية. A servant who is busy doing his duties as a servant and as his وظائف العبودية will not have time to devote any energy to devote to the planning. التاسع والنمانين هو أنك عبد مربوب realizing that your state is that of a servant and the state of Allah is that of the Rabb. Rabb in Arabic contains the connotation of rearing, of taking care of. العاشر عدم علمك عواقب الأمور. That you don't know the outcome, you can't calculate the outcome of what is happening, and that was at the end of that was a story about the man who was happy whatever happened to him, and all his animals died, and he just said khayran every time until then it turned out to be good because when robbers came to the village, then he was inaudible, invisible. So they didn't. His was the only family that survived, and he couldn't foresee that. But he knew that he could not foresee, and that there was probably something good in the situation that Allah submitted him to. And then after that, we had a section about. I think we read last time. We had a section about people who are at different levels of taslim. And he mentioned four different types of people. He said the first one is minhum man hasuna dhannahu billahi fastaslama lahu lamma awwadahu awwadahu an jamili san'ihi wujudi lutfihi. One first type of person is the one who submits or yields to Allah because he is used to getting his rizq or to getting the gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so we will simply expect that to continue. And the second type of person is وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ حَسُنَ ظَنَّهُ بِاللَّهِ عِلْمًا مِنْهُ أَنَّهُ الْاهْتِمَامُ وَالتَّدْبِيرُ وَالْمُنَازَعَةُ لَا تَدْفَعُ عَنْهُ قَدَرٌ مَا تَدْفَعُ عَنْهُ مَا قُدِّرَ عَلَيْهِ. Knowing that whether he is satisfied or he is not satisfied, or whether he worries or he doesn't worry, that will not change anything of what has been the qadr that has been already decided for him. So it's kind of not wasting energies. Then the third type of person who does taslim because he has heard the hadith, and it's a hadith Qudsi, according to which Allah is in the eyes. Let me see. In Arabic, it is أنا عند حسن ظن عبدي بي. I am as good as my servant thinks of me. So that person doesn't want to miss out on what he can gain by having the best expectations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing that Allah, if one has a good expectation of him, good hopes in him, then he will reward that by being to the servant exactly as he expects him to be. So he doesn't want to miss that. All these people are acting in their self-interest somehow. They want to get something back. Then there's a fourth type of person, Rabi'u. نسيب أرفع من هذه المراتب كلها الاستسلام إلى الله تعالى والتفويض له بما استحق يستحقه الحق من ذلك. Higher than all of these maqams is the one who simply yields because he realizes that this is the haqq, this is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of his lordship and because of his how high above the servant he is. So it is the recognition of Allah and realizing who Allah is and who is the servant in relation to Allah. So this is somebody who doesn't act out of any self-interest, but simply because of realizing who Allah is, and that is a higher maqam. And then the new section that follows is some appendixes that have to do that are commentaries. Actually, these commentaries are about the rank and explanations about the ayat that occur that Allah speaks in the Quran about Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam and the events that led to his being sent down to earth. You find these commentaries in Lata'if al-Minan also, but here in this book they are more elaborate and they are more detailed. I want to stop for 1 minute and see if I can catch this. Still some people who cannot come in for some reason. Just let us give them a minute. Okay, good. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Okay, so I think so then where I will start reading now, that corresponds to page bottom of page 31 in the yellow book. فائدة في ذكر وبال تدبير وأخطاره وإيضاح تدبير آدم عليه السلام ولمحة إلى مقامه العالي. These are headers, they don't really belong to the book, so every book will have a different header probably. They are not chapters and no section in the original book. So all sections and chapters, people put different sections and chapters in different editions according to their own. This is part of the book. Fa'ida. Fa'ida means some extra. اعلم أن التدبير اعلم أن التدبير والاختيار وبال عظيم وخطره جسيم وذلك أن نظرنا فوجدنا أن سيدنا آدم عليه السلام إنما حمله على أكل الشجرة تدبيره لنفسه، وذلك أن الشيطان قال لآدم وحواء عليهما السلام كما قال الله تعالى: وقال ما نهاكما ربكما عن هذه الشجرة إلا أن تكونا ملكين أو تكونا من الخالقين عفوا من الخالدين. Know that self-management is a great danger and a very gross mistake. And we'll understand this by looking at the case of Sayyiduna Adam alayhi salam, and what led him to eat from the tree was nothing else but his self-management. And this happened when Shaytan, la'anahu Allah, said to him and to his wife Hawa, alayhim as-salam. So in, according to the ayah in the Quran, he said, the only thing that made you, the reason why your Lord prevented you from eating from this tree is so that you would not become angels, or you will become, or you would become eternal. ففكر آدم عليه السلام في نفسه فعلم أن الخلود في جوار الحبيب هو المطلوب الأسنى. So then Adam عليه السلام, he thought to himself that khulud, eternal life, in the vicinity of the Habib, في جوار الحبيب, that this was the greatest thing that could be sought. وانتقاله من الآدمية إلى وصف الملكية إما أن يكون إن إما أن يكون لأن وصف الملكية أفضل أو ظن آدم عليه السلام أن ذلك أفضل. And he also found it good to acquire the attributes of being an angel, either because it is better in itself or because he, alayhi salam, thought that it would be better. There's an ikhtilaf amongst the ulama on this point. فَلَمَّا دَبَّرَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ فِي نَفْسِهِ هَذَا تَدْبِيرُ وَأَكَلَ مِنَ الشَّجَرَةِ. So this was how, this was his reasoning, and then he decided upon his own tadbir, his own judgment, to eat from the tree to acquire these things. فما أتي إلا من عين وجود التدبير. So all this, this was the root of the whole thing, his own, his decision to manage his own affairs. وكان مراد الحق منه ذلك لينزله إلى الأرض وليسخلفه فيه فكان هبوطا في الصورة وترقيا في المعنى. This was the will of Allah. Of course, nothing happens without the will of Allah. So this was willed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the beginning, and he wanted him to come down to earth, and he wanted to make him the Khalifa. So he's saying this important sentence, فَكَانَ حُبُوطًا فِي صُورَتِ. It was descending, as it looks like it was a descension, like going downwards. وَتَرْقِيًا فِي الْمَعْنَى. However, in reality, it was a rising. He was giving him elements that would raise his rank. وَلِذَلِكَ قَالَ الشَّيْخُ أَبُو الْحَسَنِ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى ولله والله والله ما أنزل الله آدم عليه السلام إلى الأرض لينقصه وإنما أنزله إلى الأرض ليكمله. By Allah, he did not send down Adam عليه السلام to earth in order to diminish him, but he sent him there in order to perfect him. فلم يزل لم يزل آدم عليه السلام راقيا إلى الله تعالى تارة على معاج التقريب والتخصيص وتارة على معاج الذلة والمسكنة وهو في الحقيقة أتم. So he was always going upwards. This is our aqidah, that the prophets never move from one stage to the other except that they are moving to a better state. So he was actually always moving upwards. Sometimes he was moving along a path that would of taqrib and taqsis, being selected and being brought closer towards Allah. And sometimes he would move along a path of humiliation, which in truth is atam, it is more perfect. وَيَجِبُ عَلَى كُلِّ مُؤْمِنٍ أَنْ يَعْتَقِدَ أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ وَالرَّسُولَ لَا يَنْقِلَانِ مِنْ حَالَةٍ إِلَّا إِلَى حَالَةٍ أَكْمَلَ مِنْهَا. It is wajib, it is necessary, logical, necessary for the believer to believe that a prophet or a messenger does not move from one state to another state, except that the second state is more kamal, is more perfect. وافهم منها قوله سبحانه وتعالى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى سورة الرحمن. فقال ابن عطية والحالة الثانية خير لك من الأولى. The meaning of this ayah is that the second state is better for you than the first state. وإذ قد عرفت عرفنا 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 وإذ قد عرفت هذا فاعلم أن الحق سبحانه وتعالى له التدبير والمشيئة، وكان قد سبق من التدبير مشيئته أنه لا بد أن يؤمر الأرض ببني آدم وأن يكون منهم كما شاء. So if you understand, if you know this, and you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the one who does the organizing, and He is the one who does the willing. He is the one whose will always be carried out. And before His will, His organizing, and His will was there before the event that He wanted the earth to be inhabited by the children of Adam, and things would always come out the way He wants. وَمِنْهُ مُحْسِنٌ وَظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ مُبِينٌ. This is an ayah, but it's not quoted as an ayah. Some of them will be muhsin, some of them will be doing good, and some of them will be unjust to themselves. And all that is of Allah's willing. وَكَانَ مِنْ تَدْبِيرِ حِكْمَتِهِ أَنْ لَا بُدَّ مِنْ تَمَامِ ذَلِكَ وَذَلِكَ وَظُهُورِهِ إِلَى عَالِمِ الشَّهَادَةِ. And it was part of His will that all that should take place and become all that should take place and become evident, become manifested. فأراد الحق سبحانه أن يكون تناول آدم للشجرة سببا لنزوله إلى الأرض ونزوله إلى الأرض سببا لظهور مرتبة الخلافة التي من عليه بها. ولذلك قال الشيخ أبو الحسن رضي الله عنه: أكرم بها معصية أورثت الخلافة وسنت التوبة لمن بعده إلى يوم القيامة. So it was the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the eating of Adam alayhi salam from the tree should be the thing that gave rise to his going down to the earth, and it should be the reason why he would be raised to the maqam of Khalifa that Allah had foreseen for him. And for this reason, Shaykh Abu al-Hassan radiallahu anhu says, what a honorable sin is, you have to think of it between parentheses, because there's no sin on the prophets. What a honorable sin that would bring about the Khilafah and would bring about the Sunnah of the Tawbah for everybody after him until the Day of Rising. وكان نزوله إلى الأرض بحكم قضاء الله تعالى قبل أن يخلق السماوات والأرض. And all that was decreed by Allah before He created the heavens and the earth. ولذلك قال الشيخ: والله لقد أنزل الله آدم إلى الأرض قبل أن يخلقه. By Allah, He sent down Adam alayhi salam to the earth before He even created him. because there cannot be a time event in Allah's willing. ولذلك محمد قبل أن يخلقه كما قال سبحانه وتعالى إني جاعل في الأرض خليفة. Yeah, I will make a khalifa on earth. فمن حسن تدبير الله تعالى لآدم أكله من الشجر من الشجرة ونزوله إلى الأرض وإكرام الله تعالى إياه بالخلافة والإمامة. So all these things that came out of his eating from the trees is going down to earth and Allah honoring him by making him the Khalifa and an Imam. وَإِذْ قَدْ انْتَهَى بِنَا الْمَقَالُ إِلَى هَاهُنَا فَاتَّبِعِ الْفَوَائِدَ وَالْخَصَائِصَ الَّتِي مَنَحَهَا آدَمَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ فِي هَذِهِ الْوَاقِعَةِ تعلم أن لأهل الخصوص مع الله حالا ليست لمن سواهم. So follow up all the what we are now going to say in detail about this, so that you will understand that the people of أهل الخصوص, the people who are singled out by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have hal, they have states that other people do not have. ولله فيهم تدبير لا يتوجه به لما عداهم. And Allah manages for them in a very particular way. So if somebody else would have done what he did in a different state, it would have been a sin, and it's not the same thing when the prophets do it. They don't do it as a sin, and all this will be detailed inshallah ta'ala. ففي أكل آدم من الشجرة ونزوله إلى الأرض فوائد منه. So now he's going to give the different benefits. We can read through the translation flowing. Sidi Omar, are you there? Bismillah. I'm hearing your voice very low.
Bismillah. Okay. Section 1 was the consequence of tadbir with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Know that self-management and choice are greater danger and affliction. We reflected upon the story of Adam alayhi salam and found that what caused him to eat of the forbidden tree was his tadbir for himself. Shaitan said to Adam and Hawa alayhi salam, as is reported in the Quran, Allah has forbidden you both the tree because by eating it you would become like angels or those who live forever. So Adam alayhi salam thought to himself that eternity with his beloved is the highest aim, and his going from the human state to the angelic state of being, either because the angelic state is superior or because Adam alayhi salam thought that the angelic state was superior. So when he made his tadbir with himself, he went to the tree and ate from it. That was only out of his own planning, whereas the desire or will of the real was to cause him to descend to the earth by that action and make him his representative, Khalifa, on it. It was a fall in form, but an essence in meaning. For this reason, Sheikh Abul Hassan, qaddasallahu sirahu, said, by Allah, Allah did not place Adam on earth to demean his status or make him deficient, but rather to perfect him. And Adam alayhim salam still continues to ascend to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one moment in the ascension of nearness and election, and one moment in the ascension of humility and lowliness, And in reality, the letter is more complete. Every believer must believe that the prophets and messengers do not move from a state except to a more perfect state. Understand from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and indeed the end is better than the beginning. Ibn Atiyah commented, in other words, the final state is better than the first. If you know this, then know that the real possesses the will and the tadbir, and that his tadbir became before and willed that the earth would be occupied with the children of Adam, alayhi salam, and that they would be as he wills, some of them excelling and others clear oppressors of themselves. Among that which is his wisdom decreed was that this intention must be completed and manifested in the visible world. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed that his eating from the tree would cause his descent to earth, which would cause the manifestation of the degree of vicegerency which he granted to him. Shaykh Abul Hasan Qadasallahu Sirahu said, the noblest of misdeeds was the one that bequeathed the divine vicegerency and established the way of repentance for those after him until the day of rising. Also, his descent to the earth was by the command of the decree of Allah before the creation of the heavens and the earth. Shaykh Abul Hasan Qadasallahu Sirahu also said, by Allah, Allah sent Adam down upon the earth before he created him, because he said, I will place upon earth a representative. Therefore, the eating of the tree and his descent to earth and Allah's ennobling him through the vice regency and leadership are from the excellence of the tadbir of Allah for Adam, alayhi salam.
Bismillah. So now he's going to detail the events of the eating of the tree. Dhikru fawa'idi akli Adam alayhi salam min ash-shajara. إن آدم وحواء عليهما السلام كانا في الجنة معترفا إليهما بالرزق والعطاء والإحسان والنعماء، فأراد الحق سبحانه وتعالى من خفي لطفه من تد في تد في تدبيره في تدبيره من خفي لطفه في تدبيره أن يأكلا من الشجرة ليعرف لهما بالحلم والستر والمغفرة والتوبة والاجتبائية. In the garden in the Jannah, Sayyiduna Adam and his wife Hawa alayhim as-salam, they knew Allah from one aspect. They knew him from his rizq, his providing from them, and his ata, his giving, his ihsan and his na'ama, his doing good to them and giving them na'am. So what Allah wanted in all this was that he, from his subtle or his well-informed, his hidden goodness to them, he wanted to give them something more. He wanted that they should eat, from this tree so that he would make himself known to them in a different shape. He wanted to be known by them by his hilm, and he will explain what is hilm, and satur, to hide another person's shortcoming, for instance. Al-maghfirah, forgiveness, and tawbah, is turning to them, and an ijtiba'iyyah, which means to single somebody out, to select somebody. So he's now explaining what is hilm. Anna amma al-hilmu fa innahu لم يعادلهما بالعقوبة حين فعلا، والحليم هو الذي لا يعاجل بالعقوبة على ما صنعت، بل يمهلك إما إلى عفوه وإنعامه، وإما إلى سطوته وانتقامه. So the Hilm that he wanted them to know as his attribute is that it consisted in his not punishing them or giving any consequences because they did something that he had prohibited them from doing. And he's defining a Halim, somebody who is Halim, is somebody who does not, who is not in a, who does not rush to punish or to answer, to respond to something that you did, but he gives you time, and that may be and then after some time or after a long time, he may either forgive you or pretend that nothing was wrong, or he may expose you at a later point in time to his satwa, which is his authority, and his intiqam. Intiqam is revenge. So the halim is somebody who does not act immediately. When a person does something wrong, he waits, gives you time to repent, or gives you time. He doesn't react immediately. That's according to the definition here, al halim. And those who were at the recent event, Sayyidina Sheikh defined halim in a different way. He defined it as somebody who does not react at all. So it's a different definition. In this book, it's somebody who delays, who waits. So that was the first thing that he wanted them to experience. وَالثَّانِي وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى تَغَرَّفَ لَهُمَا بِالسَّتْرِ وَذَلِكَ أَنَّهُ لَمَّا أَكَلَ مِنْهَا وَبَدَتْ لَهُمَا سَوْآتُهُمَا بِزَوَالِ مَلَابِسِ الْجَنَّةِ سَتَرَهُمَا بِوَرَقِهَا كَمَا قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَطَفِقَا يَخْصِفَانِ عَلَيْهِمَا مِنْ وَرَقِ الْجَنَّةِ وَكَانَ ذَلِكَ مِنْ وُجُودِ سَتْرِهِ. The second thing that he made them, wanted to make them experience, was his satr, his hiding, and this in the form that he gave. When they were in Jannah, they were covered by the kind of clothing that people have in Jannah, and when they, after eating, this clothing fell off them, so they started to take. He gave them the leaves of Jannah to cover themselves, so he covered them, he gave them the means of covering them themselves. وَطَفِقَا يَقْصِفَانِ عَلَيْهِمَا مِنْ وَرَقِ الْجَنَّةِ. They started to take the leaves and cover themselves. طَفِقَا is from the أفعال الشروع. They are from أخوات كَانَ, those who are studying Arabic. وَثَالِثُ, the third thing he wanted them to experience was أنه أراد الحق سبحانه وتعالى أن يعلمهم باجتبائه له. اجتباء is selecting. He wanted him to experience that he's selecting him as a prophet and a khalifa. وينشؤ عن اجتبائه مقامان. And from this his being selected, two different maqams emerge: التوبه اليه والهديه من عندي. Tawbah and guidance. فأراد الحق سبحانه وتعالى أن يعرف آدم عليه السلام باجتبائه له وسابق عنايته فيه، فقضى عليه بأكل الشجرة، ثم لم يجعل أكله إياه سببا لاعتراضه عنه ولا لقطع مدده منه، بل كان في ذلك إظهار لوده سبحانه وتعالى فيه وعنايته به، كما قال ومن كما قي كما قالوا ومن سبقت له العناية لم تضره الجناية. from his he had decreed from beginning that Adam alayhi salam should eat from this tree, and from that, after that, he did not turn away from him. There was no i'rab, turning away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from him, and he did not cut his madad. وَلَا لِقَطْعِ مَدَدِهِ مِنْهُ. He did not. Madad are the resources that Allah sends. It can be spiritual, it can be physical, and mostly it's used in a term of, it's like a spiritual rizq. He kept on sending him his madad, so he did not cut him off. There was no qat'a. بَلْ كَانَ فِي ذَلِكَ إِظْهَارٌ لِوُدِّهِ. Rather, he showed him his wood, and wood is a kind of, it will be explained also, wood is a kind of love that is not cut off because somebody does something wrong. So he wanted him to experience his wood, his this type of love. And his inaya. Inaya means care, to take care of somebody. Providence is sometimes used, but providence is not really a very good word, because providence has a very specific meaning in the Christian theology. So yeah, it doesn't have this meaning. Inaya is simply to take care of, like a mother takes care of the baby, or a father takes care of his children. كَمَا قَالُوا وَمَنْ سَبَقَتْ لَهُ الْعِنَايَةُ لَمْ يَضُرُّهُ الْجِنَايَةُ. The one who is preceded in inaya, there was care for him in the beginning, then al-jinaya, which is the crimes or wrongdoings, will not harm him. Of course, the sin will always harm, but it will not cut off the relation. وَرُبَّ وُدٍّ يَقْطَعُهُ المخالفة والود الحقيقي هو الذي يدوم لك من الود من واد لك موافقا كنت أو مخالفا. And it can happen that this wood, that love, is broken off when you go against the person. If you do something bad to your friend, maybe he doesn't want to be your friend anymore. But the true love, الود الحقيقي, is the one that stays, that remains, and the one that is from a part, a word, the one who has this true love, he can continue to love you even if you go against him. وليس في قوله تعالى ثم اجتباه ربه دليل على حدوث اجتبائية الحق فيه بل كان قبل وجوده وإنما الذي حدث بعد الذنب ظهور أثر الاجتبائية من الله له فهو الذي قال فيه الحق سبحانه وتعالى ثم اجتباه ربه أي أظهر له أثر الاجتبائية فيه والعناية به بتيسره للتوبة إليه والهداية من عنده. He's saying that when Allah says in the Quran, ثم اجتباه ربه, then Allah selected him, it does not mean a sequence in time, because the inaya, this foresight or this care, was there from the beginning, and it was in the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's not the sequence in time that is happening. All this was already preconceived in the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what happened when he says ثُمَّ اجْتَبَاهُ رَبُّهُ, what actually happens is that the signs of this preconceived will became evident. The signs of this care for him became evident. فصار في قوله تعالى ثم اجتباه ربه فتاب عليه وهداه. Then Allah selected him and he turned towards him and he guided him. تعريفات ثلاث. So these are three different things that occurred. الاجتبائية والتوبة التي هي نتيجتها And the tauba that resulted from his being selected, والهدى الذي هو نتيجة التوبة, and then the guidance which was a result in turn of the tauba. Fafham, so understand this. So this is, it's not a sequence in time, it is a sequence in reasons. Reason, one thing gives rise to the next one, and so on. ثم أنزله إلى الأرض فتعرف له بحكمته كما تعرف له بالجنة ببواهر قدرته. And then he sent him down to earth so that he would get to know him from this point of view of the hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just as in Jannah he had known him, but in Jannah he had known him only from the point of view of his qudra, of his power by creating him. وَذَلِكَ لِأَنَّ الدُّنْيَا مَحَلُّ الْوَصَائِتِ وَالْأَسْبَابِ, because the dunya is the place where wasa'it and asbab take place. Wasa'it and asbab, they mean similar things, that one thing leads to another, or at least apparently they do. I mean, in the Ash'ari Aqidah, there's no such, you can't even talk about reason and result, but it is the way it appears to us, things appear to be that, and we are supposed to act according to that pattern. So this was a thing that did not never took place in Jannah, but this was what he was going to know on earth.
فلما نزل آدم عليه السلام إلى الأرض علم الحراثة والزراعة.
So he learned how to till the earth and how to plow and how to plant and make things and take things from the earth. وَمَا يَحْتَاجُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ أَسْبَابِ عَيْشَتِهِ, and all those things that he needed in order to survive for his livelihood. In Jannah people just eat, they don't plant anything. But on earth you have to take these asbab, you have to do the job and put something in the ground and wait until it grows up and then pick it. And this is what people are supposed to be doing. So these are the asbab. The asbab is to take the asbab to get the things. Allah guarantees the rizq, but people have to take the asbab. This is our condition on earth. So this was the condition he was to get to know.
ليحققه الله تعالى بما أعلمه بما به من قبل أن ينزله بقوله فلا يخرجنكما من الجنة فتشقى.
And he made this known to them in forms by, as is said in the ayah, we did not take you out of Jannah so that you will become unhappy. Unhappy is a very rough translation. He's going to explain now the word فتشقى.
المراد بقوله تعالى فتشقى تعب الظواهر لا الشقاوة التي هي ضد السعادة.
He's doing tafsir now. He says the meaning of this shaqa is not, is the meaning of that is to become tired, simply to become tired from the toil of finding your livelihood. It is not the kind of shaqa which is unhappiness, in the sense of the opposite of sa'ada, of happiness. It's not the opposite of sa'ada, happiness. And the proof of this, والدليل على ذلك قوله تعالى فتشقى ولم يقل فتشقيا. He said فتشقى, that's one person. He didn't say فتشقيا. He didn't say about Adam عليه السلام and his wife. He said only about one person.
لأنه المتاعب والكلفة إنما هي على الرجال دون النساء كما قال تعالى الرجال قوامون على النساء بما فضل الله. Because the difficulties and the impositions are upon the man and not upon the woman, as Allah has said in the ayah, the men are caretakers of the women. So it's the men who have to work and not the women. So that is why he interprets it like that. فَتَشْقَى is only one person and that would be the man then. وَلَوْ كَانَ الْمُرَادُ شَقَاءَ الْقَطْعِيَّةِ أَوْ وُجُودِ الْحَجْبَةِ لَقَالَ فَتَشْقِيَا. And if what was meant was the qat'iyya, being cut off from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being unhappy for that, or the presence of being veiled from Allah, if that is what was meant, then he would say fatashqiya, because that would affect both the man and the woman, would affect them both. فَدَلَّ الْإِفْرَادُ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ لَيْسَ شَقَاءَهُنَا بِقَطْعِيَّةٍ وَلَا بِعَادٍ مع أنه لو ورد كذلك لحملناه على الظن الجميل وأردعناه إلى المتاعب الظاهرة على التأويل. So from there we take it that the shaqa that is meant here is not from being cut off or being far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not that kind of unhappiness. And he says, and even if it were written, even if it was not mentioned in singular, it was mentioned as for the both of them, then we will still interpret it as we have done out of our husnul dhan towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will not believe that Allah wanted people to be cut off from him. We will believe that He wanted them to just give them another way to find him. Now, Bismillah, the Sayyid Omar there. It's actually Maghrib time now. You want to
yes.
leave before Maghrib or?
Done Maghrib already. I'm fine with Maghrib, it's done. So if I should read, I can read. No, it's okay, I can read.
Yes?
Section
yes?
2.
Please.
Allah's providential care for Adam, alayhi salam. Alayhi salam. Let us now delineate the benefits and lessons given to Adam alayhi salam in this event, so that we can know that the people of election have with Allah a special state not shared with other than them, and that Allah has for them a tadbir that He does not have for other than them. In Allah's eating of the tree alayhi salam and His descent to the earth, there are many beneficial lessons. Among those lessons, that when Adam and Hawa alayhim as-salam were in paradise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made himself known to them through provision, gifts, blessings, and beneficence. So the real willed from his secret, hidden, tender mercy in his tadbir, that they would eat of the tree, so that he could make himself known to them through forbearance, covering up of deeds, forgiveness, relenting, and choosing. As for forbearance, that is apparent in the fact that he did not immediately punish them for their action. For the forbearing is the one who does not punish you immediately for what you did, but withholds and indulges you until your appointed term, when he either takes you to his graceful blessing and pardon, or to the awesome dominion and force of his vengeance. Secondly, Allah made himself known to them through his attribute of covering up and hiding. For when they ate from the tree and their private parts were exposed to them because of the garments of red eyes fell from them, he covered their shame and body with the leaves of paradise. And they began to sew together the leaves of the garden over their bodies to cover their shame. That was from the existence of his covering up. Thirdly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to make Adam know of his choosing him and to form from that choosing two stations, returning to him repentant and guidance from him. In this way, Allah desired to make himself known to Adam through his direct choosing and his previous providential care for him. So he decreed the eating of the tree, but he did not make his eating a cause for his leaving him in neglect, nor the cutting off of his support, madad, from him. In fact, in that was the manifestation of his great love, would, and care for him, as it is commonly said. For those for whom the providential care has gone before, their offenses will not harm them in the least. It is not true love that is broken by opposition or disobedience, but true love is what remains for you whether you are compliant or a contender. As for the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his Lord chose him for his case, that does not mean that the choosing was new or that it came after, but that it was there even before he was. As for what happened after the sin, that was the outward manifestation of the effect of the election of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for him, and that is the reason for his saying, his Lord chose him. And part of that effect was the facilitating for him of his turning to Allah and the provision of direct guidance. So in this verse are three affairs: the choosing, the repentance that results from that choosing, and the divine guidance that is a result of that repentance. So understand. When he made him ascend to the earth, he made himself known to him through his wisdom, as he made himself known to him in paradise by the splendors of his power. For this world is the place for intermediaries and secondary causes, asbab. So when Adam alayhim salam descended to the earth, he learned farming and planting and other skills needed for that survival, and all this so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could make real his promise to him before his action when he warned him. So let him, shaitan, not cause you both to leave the garden so that you are loaded in misery. The intended meaning of his saying misery, tashqa, is the tiring of the outer body, not the misery that is the opposite of happiness and felicity. And the proof of that is his saying, or you might end up miserable, and not you might both end up miserable. Because the strenuous obligations and tiring duties are for men and not women, as he said. Men are caretakers of women due to what they have been favored with from Allah. Had he intended by misery the separation from him or the existence veils, he would have said, or you will both be miserable. His singling out Adam alayhi salam for this address is a proof that the misery is not a separation or distancing. Even if it had been revealed in that manner, we would have interpreted it in a most respectful way, and explained it to mean the tiring of the outward body in its obligations.
فائدة جليلة أكل آدم من الشجرة لم يكن عنادا ولا خلافا. He's now going to explain that Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam didn't really do anything wrong. He did not eat from the tree as an act of going against Allah's orders. اعلم أن أكله عليه السلام للشجرة لم يكن عنادا ولا خلافا فإنما أن يكون فإن فإما أن يكون نسي الأمر فتقاطى الأكل وهو له غير ذاكر وهو قول بعضهم ويحمل عليه قوله تعالى ولقد عهدنا إلى آدم من قبل فنسي ولم نجد له عزما. He did not eat from the tree as a willful act of disobedience or going against Allah. Rather, he did that, one of the explanations that he's giving, two explanations. The first explanation that he did that out of forgetfulness, and some of the ulama have said that, and what supports this interpretation is the ayah وَلَقَدْ عَهِدْنَا إِلَىٰ آدَمْ. We made a contract with Adam alayhi salam from before, and he forgot, and we did not find a firm decision in him. So that will support that maybe he forgot. وَإِمَّا كَانَ تَنَاوُلُهُ ذَاكِرًا لِلْأَمْرِ فَهُوَ إِنَّمَا يَتَنَاوَلَهُ لِأَنَّهُ قِيلَ لَهُ مَا نَهَاكُمَا رَبُّكُمَا عَنْ هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ إِلَّا أَنْ تَكُونَا مَلَكَيْنِ أَوْ تَكُونَا مِنَ الْخَالِدِينَ. So the other interpretation is that he did not forget, he did it willfully, but he did it with a good intention. He did it because he thought that he would become like the angels and that he would be eternally staying in the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فلحبه في الله وشغفه به أحب ما يؤديه إلى الخلود في جواره والبقاء عنده أو ما يؤديه إلى الملكية لأن آدم عليه السلام عاين قرب الملكية من الله. So he did that because he was striving or he was desirous of this nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the angels have. فأحب أن يأكل من الشجرة لينال رتبة الملكية التي هي أفضل أو التي هي في ظنه كذلك على اختلاف أهل العلم وأهل المعرفة وأهل المعرفة أيضا أيهما أفضل الملكية أم النبوة لا سيما وقد قال سبحانه وتعالى وقاسمهما إني لكما لمن الناصحين. So which of these states is better? Who is better, the angels or the prophets? And there has been discussions about this between the ulama. Just the comment from myself, according to the Aqidah books, angels in general are better than people, but the best of the human beings are better than the angels, and the common of the angels are better than the commons of the people. This is according to the Ash'ari Aqidah, but there's discussion about this. So he's saying that maybe either the state of the angel is actually better, which is one opinion, or he thought that it would be better, so he was doing it with a good purpose.
And especially since he found Shaitan saying that he was swearing to them that I am a good, I'm good, giving you good counsel. وقال آدم عليه السلام ما ظننت أن أحدا يحلف بالله كاذبا. I would never have believed that somebody would swear by Allah and he was swearing a false swearing falsely in the name of Allah. فكان كما قال تعالى فدلاهما بغرور. So he cheated them. نعم بسم الله. بسم الله. سير عمر. Continue the next section. فائدة هذه فائدة هذه الخطورة أثر المعصية. فكيف بالمعصية؟ So all this happened as a sign or as a trace of a sin, because he didn't really commit a sin. So if the consequences of something that is a trace of the sin are so great, then what about the real sin? فائدة. يعلم أن آدم عليه السلام لم يكن لشيء مما كان يأكله أذية بل كان رشحا كرشح المسك كما يكون أهل الجنة في الجنة إذا دخلوها. Know that when he ate, the people in Jannah, when they eat, they don't need to go to relieve themselves. They just transpire something that has a fragrant smell. But when he ate, now this situation changed. لكنه لما أكل من الشجرة, when he ate from the tree. لما أكل من الشجر المنهي عنها أخذته بطنة فقيل له يا آدم أين على الأسرة أم على الحجال أم على شاطئ الأنهار. When he ate from the tree that was forbidden from him, then some stomach disorder or some, yeah, the stomach wanted to relieve itself, so it was said to him, he heard somebody saying to him, oh Adam, where are you going to relieve yourself? You can't relieve yourself on Al Asirra, on the, like these canopies where people are sitting, or Hijal, similar. Or are you going to go to the riverbeds? You know, the riverbeds in Jannah, they are full of corals and pearls, and are you going to relieve yourself? Like, where are you going to relieve yourself? There's no place, this is not a place for that. انزل إلى الأرض التي يمكن ذلك فيه. Go down to earth where these things are possible. فإذا كان ما به المعصية وصلت إليه آثارها فكيف لا يؤثر المعصية في الفاعل به فافهم. And this was just something that came out of a trace of a ma'asiyah. He didn't have a real sin. So then one should understand, so if this is the trace of something that could have been a sin and it had these great consequences, then how would a sin not be harmful for somebody who actually does it? Sidi Omar, we don't hear you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Do you hear me now?
No.
Don't you hear me?
No. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Another beneficial lesson. Know that his eating from the tree was not out of opposition or disobedient transgression, but was either out of forgetfulness of the command not to eat from it, as some point to, because of the saying of Allah, we had already beforehand taken the covenant with Adam, but he forgot, and we found on his part no firm resolve, or that he ate from it while heedful of the command, but probably did anyway because he was told, your Lord did not forbid you this tree except that you would become angels or such beings as live forever. So out of his love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and passionate ardor for him, he wanted that what would make him dwell eternally next to him, remaining with him, or what would make him an angel. Because Adam saw the nearness of the angelic state to Allah, he therefore wanted to eat from the tree so that he could attain to the angelic rank, since he conceived it would be better than his current state of being, especially after Shaitan told him, I swear to you both that I am giving you sincere advice. He later said, I never thought that anyone would swear by Allah and lie. But Shaitan led them on in error and deceit. Another beneficial lesson. Know that whenever Adam alayhi salam would eat something, he would never have a need to relieve himself. Instead, he would perspire with a perspiration that would smell like musk, just like the inhabitants of paradise. However, when he ate from the forbidden tree, he felt that he needed to relieve himself. So it was said to him, O Adam, where? In the groves or on the shores of the rivers? Descend to the earth, wherein such a thing would be appropriate. So if the sin in his excrement would have an effect on the garden, then how could the sin not affect his perpetrator? So understand. Subtle point. Know that everything forbidden is a tree, and the garden of paradise is the presence of Allah. So it is said to Adam of your heart, and the Eve of yourself, do not come near this tree, or else you oppress yourselves. As for Adam, alayhi salam, he was specifically surrounded by a special care, which he ate of the tree, when he ate of the tree, and descended to earth to become a representative. But you, on the other hand, if you eat from the tree of forbidden things, fall to the earth of separation from Allah. So understand. If you eat from the tree of prohibition, you are taken out of the garden of obedience to the earth of separation, and you are made miserable, because misery is found at the moment of the heart's separation and not the self's, because in that moment of separation are found the self's passions and desires, and its diving fully into heedless forgetfulness.
Barakallahu fikum. You went a bit ahead. I'll go back again to the last section. Tanbihun i'tibarun. Tanbihun i'tibarun. I'alam anna kulla shay'in nahiya Allahu anhu fahuwa shajara. Everything that Allah has forgiven is a tree. The symbol for it is a tree. Wal jannatu hiya khaburatullahi. And the Jannah is the presence of Allah. فَيُقَالُ لِآدَمَ قَلْبُكَ. So your heart will be called Adam. وَلِحَوَاءَ نَفْسُكَ. And Hawa will be your nafs. وَلَا تَقْرَبَا هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةِ فَتَكُونَا مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. So don't go near this tree, meaning don't let your heart and don't let your nafs go close to anything that Allah has forbidden. لكن آدم عليه السلام محفوف بالعناية لما أكل من الشجر من الشجرة أنزل إلى الأرض للخليفة للخلافة. However, Adam عليه السلام he was in the عناية, in the care of Allah, and when he went down to earth, he went there to become a Khalifa. وأنت إذا أكلت من شجرة النهي من شجرة النهي أنزلت إلى الأرض القطعية فافهم. Whereas if you do the same thing, if you eat from the forbidden tree, then you are going to be you suffer قطعية, you are going to suffer separation. So understand this. Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, he didn't suffer separation from eating, but if a normal human being does it, it will be ma'asiyah, it will be a sin. So he will suffer qat'iyyah. He will suffer separation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِن تَنَاوَلْتَ شَجَرَةَ النَّهْيِ أُخْرِجْتَ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ مِنْ جَنَّةِ الْمُوَافَقَةِ إِلَى وُجُودِ أَرْضِ الْقَطْعِيَّةِ فيشقى قلبك وإنما يلاقي الشقاء وقت القطعية القلب للنفس. If you eat from the forbidden tree, that is if you sin, then you'll be taken out from the Jannah of Muwafaqah, from the Jannah of being in accordance with Allah. You will be taken out from there, and you will be taken into the qat'iyya, into being separated from Allah, and you will suffer shaqa. So what is suffering the shaqa now? He's saying the shaqa is suffered by the heart and not by the nafs. وَإِنَّمَا يُوَاقِي الشَّقَاءَ وَقْتَ الْقَطْعِيَّةِ الْقَلْبَ لَلنَّفْسِ. The shaqa will have an effect on the qalb, not on the nafs. لأن وقت القطعية يكون فيه ملائمات النفوس من ملذاتها وشهواتها وانهماكها في غفلاتها. Because the nafs will not notice that the qat'iyya, the heart that notices the qat'iyya, the nafs is happy with its following its lusts and is enjoying itself and it doesn't feel the qat'iyya, but the heart feels this separation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the next part, I think I'll read that and then stop because it will be Maghrib, I think, in Britain also now soon. You can read one more section, inshallah. ترتيب وبيان. تغرف الأسماء والعبادة بموجبها. He's going to mention about how Adam alayhi salam got to know Allah's different attributes, his different names. This is a very sweet section, mashallah. ترتيب وبيان. So we will explain the following. اعلم أن الله تعالى تعرف لآدم عليه السلام بالإيجاد فناداه يا قدير. Allah made himself known to Adam by creating him, by bringing him into existence. So he knew him as the powerful and he called him يا قدير. ثم تعرف له بتخصيص الإرادة فناداه يا مريد. Then he knew him more specifically by what he willed, so he called him by the willing one, the one who wills, يا مريد. ثم تعرف له بحكمه في نهيه عن أكل الشجرة فناداه يا حاكم. Then he made himself known as the one who gives orders when he forbade him from eating from the tree, so he called him by the name of the one who gives rules, makes rules, يا حاكم. ثم قضى عليه بأكلها فناداه يا قهار. And then he decreed for him to break this rule and to eat. So he called him by the name of the one who subdues, Al-Qahhar. ثم لم يعاجله بالعقوبة إذا أكلها فناداه يا حليم. But then he did not go directly to punish him after his eating, so he called him by the name of the forbearing, يا حليم. ثم لم يفضحه في ذلك فناداه يا ستار. Then he did not reproach him for what he did not even reproach him. He didn't punish him. He didn't even reproach him. So he called him, Ya Sattar, you the one who hides. He hid it. Like he didn't make it an affair of it. ثم تاب عليه بعد ذلك فناداه يا تواب. And then he turned towards Adam alayhi salam, and he knew him as the one who turns, and he called him Ya Tawwab. ثم أشهده أن أكله من الشجرة لم يقطع عنه وده فيه فناداه يا ودود. Then he allowed him to experience that his eating from the tree did not result into kaqa, into being cut off from him, from his love. So he called him by the name of the one who loves, the tender loving, Ya Wadud, the one who loves even after one has done something wrong. ثُمَّ أَنْزَلَهُ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ وَيَسَّرَ لَهُ أَسْبَابَ الْمَعِيشَةِ فَنَادَاهُ يَا لَطِيفٌ. Then he sent him down to earth, and he facilitated for him the means of livelihood, so he called him Ya Latif. ثُمَّ قَوَّاهُ عَلَى مَا اقْتَضَاهُ مِنْهُ فَنَادَاهُ يَا مُعِينَ. Then he gave him strength to do everything that he had decreed for him, so he called him, O Helper, Ya Mu'in. ثُمَّ أَشْهَدَهُ سِرَّ الْأَكْلِ وَالنَّهْيِ وَالنُّزُولِ فَنَادَاهُ يَا حَكِيمٌ. So he made him, Allah made him witness the wisdom in his eating and in his forbidding and in his sending him down, so he called him by the name of the wise, Ya Hakim. ثم نصره على العدو والمكائد له فناداه يا نصير. Then he helped him, he gave him support against enemies and those who plotted against him, so he called him by the name of the one who gives victory, Ya Nasir. ثم ساعده على أعداء ثم ساعده على أعداء التكليف العبودية فناداه يا ظهير. Then he helped him to carry out everything he was charged with, all the takleef. Takleef is the prohibitions and the orders. He helped him to carry out the takleef of ubudiyya, the impositions of servanthood. So he called him Ya Dhahid. Dhahid is somebody who backs you up. فَمَا أَنزَلَهُ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا لِيُكَمِّلَهُ إِلَّا لِيُكَمِّلَ لَهُ وُجُودَ التَّعْرِيفِ وَيُقِيمَهُ بِوَظَائِفِ التَّكْلِيفِ فَتَكَمَّلَتْ فِي آدَمَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ الْعُبُودِيَّتَانِ عُبُودِيَّةُ التَّعْرِيفِ وَعُبُودِيَّةُ التَّكْلِيفِ فَعَظَمَتْ مِنَّةُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَتَوَفَّرَ إِحْسَانُهُ إِلَيْهِ فَافْهَمْ. So he gave him the means to perfect these two aspects of the ubudiyyah, which is the two types of ubudiyyah, which is the ta'rif, knowing him, and taklif, submitting to his orders and his prohibitions. So what in the end he the effect of all this was that he came to know the greatness of the gifts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he came to know his ihsan in much in more in a deeper fashion. So understand this. Bismillah. Bismillah. We don't hear you. No.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Section 3. How Allah made himself known to Adam alayhi salam. Know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made himself known to Adam through his originating him, so he called him O Powerful, Ya Qadir. Then he made himself known to him through his special will, so he called him O One Who Wills, Ya Murid. Then he made himself known to him through his decision of prohibiting the tree, so he called him O Judge, Ya Hakim. Then he decreed that he should eat from it, so he called him, O irresistible compeller, Ya Qahir. Then he did not punish him immediately when he ate, so he called him, O forbearing, Ya Halim. Then he did not humiliate him in that, so he called him, O coverer of sins, Ya Satar. Then he relented to him after that, so he called him, O relenting, Ya Tawab. Then he caused him to see that his eating from the tree did not separate him from his great love, so he called him, O lover, Ya Wadud. Then he caused him to descend to the earth and facilitated for him the means of his living, so he called him, O tenderly merciful, Ya Latif. Then he strengthened him in preparation for what he would demand of him, so he called him, O helper, Ya Mu'in. Then he caused him to behold the secret behind the eating and the prohibition and the descent, so he called him, O wise, Ya Hakim. Then he gave him victory over his enemy, Shaitan, and his tricks, so he called him, O granter of victory, Ya Nasir. Then he helped him in difficulties of servitude, so he called him, O helper, Ya Dahir. Therefore, he did not cause him to descend to earth except to perfect for him his authority. His authority, Tasrif, and to establish for him the duties of his appointment, taklif. So when these two forms of servitude were perfected in him, the grant of Allah was magnified upon him, and his generosity to him became abundant. So understand.
I just want to mention the names. I misread on one place, and that's also to just pronounce it. If you take notes or something, please put them down properly, because it's important that the name should be known correctly. So the first one is Al-Qadid, Al-Qadid. The second one is Al-Murid, Al-Murid. The third one is Ya Hakim, Hakim. The next one is Al-Qahid. I said Al-Qahar, that's a different name. It says here Qahid, Al-Qahid. then Al-Halim, Al-Halim, then At-Tawwab with a shadda on the waw, At-Tawwab, Ya Tawwab. After that, Ya Latif, Ya Latif. After that, Ya Mu'in, Helper. After that, Ya Hakim, not Hakim, Ya Hakim. Hakim is the one who establishes rules, and it preceded Al-Hakim. This is Al-Hakim, is the wise one, it's different. Then Ya Nasid, the one who grants victory. Ya Dhahid, the one who backs up, who helps. I think that was it, yes. Barakallahu fikum. وجزا الله عنا سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ما هو أحلف. وجزا الله عنا سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ما هو أحلف. جزا الله عنا سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ما هو أحلف. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين، والفاتحة على ساداتنا. بارك الله فيكم كلكم. I think next time I'll collect some of the comments you've been sending me, and you please email me if you have any comments or questions, and I'll bring them up inshallah next time. We can look at some of the questions you asked. Things, thoughts will come up inshallah ta'ala. In the next chapter, I think we'll read next time is the qasida of one of the qasida that شيخ ابن قطائلة سكننا الموت. إن شاء الله we'll look at that next Sunday. آمين آمين آمين. بارك الله فيكم. So see you next Sunday إن شاء الله تعالى. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. One last thing, if there are any children or grown-ups who like to perfume these meetings with any read, any word you like to read, or any poetry lines, or anything you qasid, anything you like to come up with, please do. And if you have children who like to read some ayah or give something, please please let me, just let me know in advance, and we arrange inshallah. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.